Bingham is the punk edge musician we got to know last season on Showtime's hit TV series, The Real L Word. Hi, Summer.
Hi, how's it going, Charlotte?
Fine. What's life been like after appearing on The Real L Word?
You know, of course, whenever you're in the public eye, people come out of the woodwork and suddenly you're getting paternity claims, most of them false, of course. I think you're guaranteed a stint in celebrity rehab. And, you know, some mornings you wake up and you figure out you're getting your mugshot taken with Lindsay Lohan. So, you know, besides all that, things are pretty much back to normal. I still get recognized on the street, sometimes at work. I've had some really great opportunities to play some charity events and some higher profile shows. But it was fun for the experience, I think. It's life-changing, but not in major ways.
Tell us about the female-fronted music takeover at T.T. the Bear's place in Cape Schmass on May 30th.
This is one of my favorite kinds of shows. So a friend of mine had asked me to participate, and it ended up being four female-fronted bands, also happen to be queer. And it kind of reminds me of what I envision Riot Girl culture to have been like in the 90s. Just a bunch of girls that get together, they happen to be playing great music. The night's going to be super fun, and it makes me overjoyed to be part of something like this.
How did the gig come together?
I actually know Leah Welbaum. She's a female lead frontwoman from Slothrust, who's also playing. And we both volunteered at a camp called Willie Mae Rock Camp for Girls. It's an organization based in Brooklyn. And each summer they do two sessions where kids from ages 8 to, I think, 16 or 17 get to go and participate. They learn an instrument, they form a band, and then they perform at the end of it. And the volunteers are some of the most amazing people I've met. Just talented, smart, passionate. A lot of them play music themselves. Some of them don't, but they have, you know, so many other talents and interests that they bring to the table. And Leah and I, we weren't in the same session, but there's a list, an email list that people post on. And we both ended up checking out each other's bands, and it was sort of like band love at first sight. We both play a little bit heavier blues-based, grunge-based rock.
On The Real L Word, when you were with Hunter Valentine, you played keyboards. Is that your main instrument, or do you play other instruments as well?
I actually started on guitar. I wanted to be a singer-songwriter in college. I thought it'd be a great way to meet girls. That was my first instrument, and since then I've just sort of expanded trying to teach myself other instruments, drums, keyboards, and then a little bit of production and engineering as well.
What do you hope to accomplish with your music?
I do music out of love. The industry is so different now. I don't really have any fame and fortune expectations at this point. I do it because it fills a void in me that I've had. I've been depressed on and off since I was really like 13 or 14 years old. And if I could accomplish something, it would just be to reach other people who connect to it. I always thought whenever I discovered an artist like PJ Harvey or Hole or The Raincoats, I always just felt that void filled a little. And so if I could reach people in that same way, that I just got excited that someone else was screaming and angsty, then that would be an accomplishment for me.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT equality?
I think just by being out, that's the first step, you know, that anybody can take. And, you know, I happened to be on the show, which was exposure and saying, like, being a proud out lesbian. But I've actually played a couple of shows that were just for youth who were questioning or who were struggling, might have been bullied. There's an organization in Long Island called Pride for Youth that I've gone to one of their charity events, and I'm going to just go and hang out with the girls. I want to be exposed and I want to be out in that way that, you know, makes other people feel less lonely.
What would you like to see the Obama administration accomplish for our LGBT community in the next 4 years?
I think they're doing a great job just in terms of recognizing it as a fundamental right. And, you know, Obama has sort of had a turnaround in that way and vocalizing that. But I think the most important step is going to be in the court. I've never been comfortable with states voting on whether it should be allowed to be married if you're gay, but I think that it's something that we need to be able to logically conclude as a basic right.
You're married to your wife, Donna, and the U.S. Supreme Court will rule on DOMA and Prop 8 next month. What's your spin on all this?
I can't imagine that they would come to the wrong conclusion here. It's a civil matter, and it's about equal rights. So, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed that they do make the right decision. But I also think a lot of the argument gets caught up on what I consider semantics and an intrusion of church into state. So the church has sort of tried to co-opt the word marriage and say the Bible says it's between a man and a woman, and this, you know, this is how God intended. And, you know, of course, there's tons of rhetoric on what they believe would be right, but that believe it should be completely separate. I don't think it's even a question of whether or not it's a basic right. And therefore, I kind of think everybody should just be getting civil unions. If you're gay, straight, whatever it is that you want to do, it should be your right to marry whomever you want. If marriage is really the word that they're getting caught up with, they go get married in a church. But when you're talking about a state issue or a federal issue of whether someone should get health benefits or be able to visit their loved one in a hospital legally, then that should be a universally recognized bond that the country recognizes.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I've been there. I've experienced it, and it's a very, very dark place. And I've been depressed. I've been suicidal. I've felt hopeless. When you have that kind of depression, there's almost nothing someone can say to make you feel better, except that it'll pass. It gets easier as life carries on, and don't give up, because as low as I felt in those moments, that's the opposite of how happy I feel now that I've gotten through it and I found a loved one and still have a life ahead of me. It's never so bad that you should end everything.
How can people get information about where you'll be performing?
I have a site called clinicaltrialsmusic.com, and it kind of links to everything. So if people want to find videos and music and shows, we try to provide the service of them being able to find us. But, you know, it's usually up to date. If not, you know, there's our Facebook page, of course, and the lovely Twitter.
What other projects are you working on?
You know, I daily try to write and work on music. It's not always stuff that is appropriate for clinical trials. Sometimes I play acoustic shows, and this stuff is a little bit more mushy and heartfelt. So anytime I'm playing a solo show, it's a little different spin. And other than that, just being happy with Donna, and you know, we're hoping to build a family in the next couple years. So that's another whole kind of project.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I love talking about the psychological spin on what it was like to be on the show. You know, I think we see the drama and we see the ad and everything, but the actual event of being filmed every day and being changed a little by it, and it was almost like a chess game. A lot of the harder things happened when the cameras stopped rolling, and it was sort of this aftermath of destruction.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I think that that's proven itself time and time again, that the lowest points and the hardest things that you have to go through, you're going to find a lesson in it, and you're going to look back and say, wow, I can't believe I survived it. So I think that's sort of what can keep me going in those really low moments.